This is Kelly Henderson, and you are listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast. This week on the podcast, my guest is heartbreak and breakup coach Laura Yates. Laura and I sat down to talk about how to get through a breakup. If you've listened to my previous podcast with love and relationship expert Samantha Burns, we talked a lot about how to love successfully, especially after a rough breakup. But what we didn't talk about is the actual breakup part and how to survive after heartbreak. So Laura and I dove into some things you can do to help ease the pain, obviously what you can learn from a breakup, some healthy breakup protocol, and why men actually have a harder time with breakups than women. That one really shocked me. Laura Yates is the founder of laurayates.org and the podcast, The Bounce Back Podcast. Her work has been featured in multiple places, including The Daily Mail, Reveal Magazine, Glamour, and Marie Claire, just to name a few. Clearly, she knows her stuff. Here's Laura. I am here with Laura Yates, who is a heartbreak and breakup coach. She's the founder of laurayates.org and the podcast, The Bounce Back Podcast. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh, no, thank you for having me. I'm excited to get into it.
So I did a podcast actually a couple weeks ago with Samantha Burns from Love Successfully, and we were talking about how to move on effectively from a breakup, but like to love differently, basically. So to look into your different relationships and make them different. But we kind of, we didn't really talk about the anatomy of a breakup, which is sort of your specialty, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. I'm so fascinated by heartbreak, and you know, particularly the I always feel like breakups can be a catalyst for such positive change in our lives, and growth and self-growth and everything. We can learn so much about ourselves, and that obviously impacts our future relationships. But, you know, really being able to get through that real messy stage, that's what I really, really love to help people with. So, yeah, it's something I've been delving into for about 4 or 5 years now. So it's definitely very interesting, like the whole dynamics of a breakup and, you know, the coping mechanisms that we can put in place to help with it.
Right. I would say, I mean, no matter who you are, how great your life is, I think breakups are just hard for everyone, right?
Right. And that's it. And the thing is, no one is immune to it.
Yeah.
You know, you can be as beautiful and successful and as smart and have literally everything. But, you know, heartbreak is the ultimate equalizer. I don't think there's anyone who gets away with not going through it at some point in their lives. So I think that, you know, there is so much that people can relate to other people's experiences so much.
What kind of things do you see just with most people when they're trying to get over a relationship? What are the most common struggles that you see?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it can be different for each person, but mainly people really struggle with ruminating over the past, you know, and feeling like they can't get over what they did wrong or what their ex did wrong, feeling like the whole thing was really unfair. And ultimately, you know, they feel like they really struggle to be able to let go. I think everything's kind of snatched away from us, isn't it? When we had such high hopes for that relationship and we were so in love with that person, and then all of a sudden it gets taken away from us, it makes us question everything. And, you know, I think that the hardest thing about breakups are that it is like a loss, but we struggle to know how to grieve for it because we can't grieve for it in the same way that we would, you know, if someone had passed away, because our ex is out there walking around in the world still. So we kind of feel like in this no man's land, and it's really difficult to know where to turn. So I think people really struggle with finding that sense of closure. That tends to be a real common struggle that I see.
Right. Even if you were the one who initiated the breakup, you can kind of go through those feelings, right?
Definitely. Yeah. It's really hard for the person who did initiate it. You know, I think that we always think that the person who did the breaking up, like it's so much easier for them, but oftentimes that really isn't the case. And it's almost like then if you are that person, you don't have an excuse to feel sad about it and to be able to grieve for it, because we worry that people will think, well, you know, you made that decision, so now you have to live with that and you have to get on with your life, and you don't deserve to feel that way. So that can be a real struggle as well.
Do you think that it's just grieving the idea of a relationship that's one of the most difficult things?
I think so. Yeah. I think people put so much on what that relationship means in terms of their identity. I think people feel a lot of pressure to, you know, to have the perfect relationship, and especially especially, you know, people who are getting into their 30s as well. You know, we feel like that pressure to have it all, have to have the marriage and start the family and all of those things. So when someone walks away from that, or when that relationship is taken away for some reason, we kind of like question our whole place in the world. And sometimes it can really impact, you know, our hopes and dreams. And we can really struggle to be able to know how to move forwards from that.
So I love on your website, you have a section that talks about some of the issues that you go through with clients and how you can help them in this breakup process.
Yeah.
So can we talk through a couple of those? Because I loved them. One of them says, what do you do in the first stages of heartbreak so you can breathe again? So what are some of the top things you recommend to people?
Okay, so, well, first of all, and this probably doesn't sound immediately very helpful, but you do really need to understand, like, you know, don't underestimate how hard a breakup is. It really can shake us to our core. And so, you know, you've got to take it day by day. You've got to give yourself that period of time to really feel bad and feel sad and know that that's okay. Like, the more you can actually feel into your feelings, the more that you will actually be able to process them and be able to then kind of deal with them and come out the other side. It's when we start to try and really bury them and pretend we're okay and kind of be in denial about the whole thing that it just is going to build up and build up and build up and come out eventually. Because if you just give yourself that period of grace and just say, you know what, I know that this is going to be a rough ride for a while and I'm just going to take it day by day.
What do you mean? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, breakups aren't a linear process. You know, it's over long term, like generally we will see, you know, we will start to feel better and have more hope again and start to get out there and meet more people. But in those first, you know, even few months, you know, we can feel like, oh, I've gone a couple of weeks and I feel okay. And then all of a sudden I feel absolutely dreadful again. Maybe I saw something on social media or I was triggered in some way and I feel like I'm back to square one. So, you know, just be kind to yourself. Just give yourself like that ultimate compassion and just know that, to take it day by day.
I've had someone describe it to me as a corkscrew instead of like a linear line. I love that
because
there are the ups and downs, and it doesn't mean if you go back down, you can't go back up. You will, but it's like a corkscrew ever revolving.
Definitely. That's right. And, you know, and in those really first stages, it's literally just doing one thing at a time. So, you know, just being able to just, Right now, my sole goal is to just get up in the morning, get a shower, get myself dressed, get myself out to work, and literally just take it like that task by task, because you might feel you need to do that. You know, don't feel like, oh my God, I've got to be over it this time next week. And because it just feels so overwhelming to think about all of those mountains you feel like you have to climb. So just do things bit by bit and take it day by day.
Right. That was actually the next thing I was going to bring up was you talked about taking the small steps forward every day just so you can get out of bed. And as dramatic as that may sound, some breakups are that hard.
They are. I mean, I'm sure like anyone listening can probably relate in some way when they've gone through that real earth shattering breakup. And, you know, we can't underestimate the impact that has on our physical body, you know, as well as our emotions. It really like tires us out when our body is going through that. It's almost like a trauma. Again, not to make it too dramatic, but short term, it can feel like that. So you have to just really, you know, allow yourself to take things slowly and not try and be a superhero about it, not put too much pressure on yourself to feel like you've got to be fine and do all of these things. So, yeah, even though that might sound like, oh, come on, like, just get out of bed, but it's really important that people are able to have that compassion for themselves and take it in that kind of slow way.
So do you see the side of people where they can't even get out of bed, but do you see a lot of people who overcompensate and go the other way, maybe like stay too busy so they don't have to feel their feelings?
Yeah, definitely. And you know what? I see this with a lot of guys.
Yeah.
I know we're going to talk a little bit about that later on, but yeah, I think it's almost like it can be, if that's your natural go-to, like sometimes we are more naturally wired. If we're going through something, it's just like, okay, well, I just need to keep busy. I need to keep myself like occupied in other ways. And whilst there is a place for that, like we don't want to be ruminating over things too much, but it's a balance. And the thing is, if you go out and try and do everything and just try and forget about it without actually facing those emotions and processing them and working through them, then that's going to come back up to bite you at some point, whether it is in you know, the next person that you date or the next relationship that you fall into, if there's all of that stuff that you haven't really dealt with, that's, it's going to come back up. So it's really better for you to actually go through this really hard and quite gross and icky process right now, because you're going to come out better the other side, and then you're going to feel like much more ready to be able to go out and date and meet someone new in a much healthier place emotionally.
Well, so I think that brings up a good question. I think a lot of people, when you say feel your feelings or go through the process, would be like, well, do what? What do I do? Right. Like, how do you do that? Well, do you have suggestions?
Definitely. I mean, something that I really like and I encourage people I work with to do, and many of them find it really helpful, is to actually just write out your feelings. Like, when we're going through a breakup, our heads are just like the thoughts are going around in our head, and it can just drive us crazy. And if we don't have a place to put that, then we can't kind of resolve anything. We can't make sense of anything. So the act of actually writing it down, or journaling, some people call it, just putting pen to paper and writing down everything that's in your head, it can feel really, really cathartic. And it doesn't have to make sense. You know, you don't have to show it to anybody. But then if you do read it back, you can actually kind of figure out, okay, well, I'm triggered by this. This is what's happening. And you can kind of make sense of everything a little bit more. It's a bit like a free thought form of therapy. So I recommend that people do that. And then things like, you know, things that make you feel really grounded. So going for a walk in nature, if you can, or just going out for a walk, moving your body in some way, moving your body gently, ideally at this point, things like mindfulness and meditation. And, you know, I know that these all sound like really boring things to do. They don't sound very sexy. They're not like that instant quick fix that we all want. But if you start to just implement one of those things, or even all of them if you can, a little bit each day, you will start to notice a shift in how you're feeling emotionally, because it's just encouraging you to be more in tune with what you're feeling, to be more observant of it, and to be less reactive to it as well. You know, like, you, if you can journal, for example, at those, that time where you might really want to text your ex, and you might be like really furious and really angry and really want to just shout at them and say something to them, instead of actually texting your ex, if you just actually let it all out of your head and write it down, it kind of has the same effect. It gets it out of your system, but without like that horrible feeling of then you've texted your ex and now you feel really regretful about it.
Right. Well, yeah. Also, I was
we've all been there.
Yeah, unfortunately. I also feel like I know for me personally, parts of breakups that are really hard is you do lose a sense of your identity a little bit, because you've been this couple for so long, right? And now you're on your own. So it's almost like this process of getting to know yourself again.
Exactly. Yeah. Getting to know yourself, rediscovering your identity, rediscovering who you are. And, you know, when you are just through those real first initial raw stages, what I really love to, you know, get or request people to do, or encourage them to do rather, is to, you know, start to re-engage with things that you used to love to do, because we can, you know, we're all guilty of this to a certain extent. We can lose ourselves in a relationship. We can lose what we're passionate about, and we can stop doing those things that we always used to do when we were single, because, you know, we're in a relationship and we spend more evenings together, and that just becomes more of a habit. Whereas if you can just reconnect to yourself and go back to those old passions, or find ways to discover new ones, you know, create new memories for yourself. That's a big one, actually. If you can find ways to create new habits and new memories that you actually associate with this new chapter in your life and you as an individual, rather than you and your ex and your relationship, like, that creates new neural pathways in the brain, which then makes it easier to move on, because you're creating those new memories for yourself that you only associate with you. So that's really important.
I actually love that you brought up neural pathways. I'm such a nerd about stuff like this, but I love
it. Me too.
It.
Oh my God, I'm so into it.
But that is something that, from experience, I've learned as well. Making that new memory, and even in the same place, like if you used to go to this restaurant, you might have to wait a little bit of time to have some time to pass. But you can go back to that restaurant in a totally different situation and make a new memory, and your brain really does remember the positive stuff. If you
That's
do that.
It. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I even encourage people, you know, take a different route to work, go to a different coffee shop in the morning, even if those were things you didn't actually do with your ex, but it reminded you of the time you were with your ex, you know, that period of time when you were in the relationship, then yeah, it does start to create those new neural pathways. And it doesn't mean forgetting those memories, because there will be good memories that later on, like you just said, in time you can come back to, and you know, you won't be so emotionally triggered by it. You won't feel so raw about it. So it's not about forgetting all of that stuff, but right now your goal is to start to bring in new memories that you can, you know, embrace this new chapter of your life with.
Right. Okay. Well, it's 2019, so I have to talk to you about like social media and breakups.
Oh.
Right. So how do you handle letting go of your ex when it is so easy to go stalk them, or it's just all the information about them is so accessible nowadays?
I know. I'm convinced like breakups were so much easier, even when I was a lot younger and social media wasn't as prevalent. Like, I'm sure breakups were a lot easier. And honestly, Kelly, like, this is the thing that I see with most of the people I work with. I've got a private group on Facebook, and the majority of the comments, the people in there are really like, they've seen their ex do something on social media, or, you know, they're really, really triggered by it. And I was with my last big breakup. It's really tough. So I think this is, you know, a really nice opportunity for people to start to engage more in the real world, and that being your focus. I mean, a lot of us are on social media a lot anyway, so it can only do us all good to just to be mindful of that, and to just take a little bit of a step away from it. It doesn't mean you have to remove it from your life forever, but, you know, focus instead on reconnecting with your friends, or building up new, you know, networks socially, like in real life, not on social networks, and start to re-engage with the real world. Because by doing that, you really are then just going to be limiting the amount of time you're spending on social media. So taking a digital detox can be really beneficial. And, you know, you need to limit what you see of your ex, I really think, as well. You know, so if that means deleting them off your social media, or at least just hiding it, because it's keeping that emotional connection going. Even though you might not be in touch with them like physically, it's just that emotional tie is still there. And I also think it's important to kind of really step into your power at this point and know that even if you see your ex doing something on social media that triggers you, or if they've done something, you know, actually to antagonize you, because it's the low-hanging fruit, people do that a lot, it's your choice as to how you respond or react to it. So even if you see something, it doesn't mean that you need to get all in your head about it and it needs to send you on a downward spiral. Just take a breath, take a deep breath, and then think, okay, I'm going to choose how I respond or react to it, and then I'm going to choose to just walk away and do something that actually supports my emotional well-being. I'm going to call a friend, I'm going to do some journaling, I'm going to go for a walk, and that can really help you get into that more positive place.
Right, so it actually is a kind of individual journey with that, knowing what triggers you and how much you can handle. Like, some people might not even be able to look at all.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, if you know that you perhaps get mainly triggered, you know, in an evening when perhaps you don't have too much to do and the natural go-to is like, oh, I'll just get on my phone and scroll on social media. If you know that your tendency is to do that, have something else there in place. You know, have like a friend who you can call, or have an activity that you can do, or have a friend that you can go out with for a drink or for coffee or whatever. Have something creative that you can do. You know, doing something with your hands is as silly as it sounds, but it's a really good way to stop you being on social media. So it's just, about being really honest with yourself and thinking, okay, where are my triggers, and where can I put another healthier habit in place, and how can I keep reminding myself that although it's hard, like, breaking away from social media, this is actually really going to support me. And to go easy on yourself as well. You know, if it's not about not getting hurt if you do see something, but it's just about taking that deep breath and knowing how you choose to react to that, and knowing also that a lot of what we see on social media, it isn't actually a true portrayal of what's going on. You know, I speak to so many people who, and they've actually been the one doing this, where they'll put up pictures on social media and they want to reveal to everybody else that they're having a great time, that they're loving life being single. But actually behind the scenes, it's a really different story going on.
Right.
Yeah.
So how would you say, like, let's talk about a healthy breakup protocol. I had a friend go through a breakup last week and she was saying that her ex had texted her because it was her birthday. That's what the deal was. But right. So would you say, you know, when you break up, do you need to just cold turkey cut it off? Or I know a lot of people want to try to be friends. What's the protocol there?
Yeah, I mean, again, there isn't really a one size fits all. It's kind of an individual thing. But my kind of personal view, and I know this is what helped me the most and what helps a lot of the people I work with the most, is to cut off contact, go cold turkey. It doesn't have to be forever. You know, and if a relationship hasn't ended acrimoniously and there isn't a real reason why you shouldn't be in touch, I still think having that distance is really healthy for the both of you to be able to, you know, move on in your own way. And it doesn't mean that you can't be friends in the future or that you can't be in touch in the future, but right now it's going to serve you both so well to just have that emotional and physical distance. And so I definitely recommend that for a period of time people do go cold turkey, unless there's a reason, like you have kids together or there's a really practical reason why you need to keep in touch. But even then, you know, you can put boundaries in place on what those conditions are. And because what can so often happen is that we say, like, we're going to be friends and everything's cool and it's fine, but it ends up being a bit of a vicious cycle because we can get triggered so easily again. And we look to it to kind of get closure when we can actually find that closure within ourselves. And it means that we can't get a true perspective of what was really going on in that relationship. So although it does feel really hard, like having that breakaway and breaking that contact completely, it allows us to kind of take off the rose-tinted glasses and see what was going on in that relationship to figure out, okay, how were we really feeling? And How can I really focus on myself and my life and my new life moving forwards now?
So speaking of that, let's talk about the men versus women in breakups. I read an article, and we talked about this last week, but I read an article saying that men have a harder time with breakups than women, which shocked me because I always think of a woman, or, you know, all of my friends, myself, we cry it out. We're really in a bad spot for a while. And it does seem like guys can kind of bounce back quicker, or they're dating again. They're out drinking with friends, you know, all of those kind of things. What is that about?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I work with a lot of guys actually. So it's a really interesting one for me. And everything you just said there, that, you know, when I've been through a breakup and I cry it out and I feel like I'm having a bad time, but actually you crying it out, you speaking to your friends, you doing all of those things, that is what I was talking about earlier, about you're processing those emotions. You're letting them out. You're not letting them fester. Whereas what I see a lot of men doing is they bury it down. They bury it down because they feel like they don't have a place to be able to let out those emotions. They feel like it's going to compromise their masculinity. They're going to worry about, oh, well, I can't, you know, go to a friend and tell him I'm going through this really rough time because he's going to think I'm weak. He's going to think this and that. And so males are kind of naturally, it's their tendency to more like just bury it and get on with it. Whereas women, we're more community driven. We want to speak to each other. We want to talk about what's going on. Whereas men oftentimes are the opposite. So they kind of, their coping mechanism is to go out and keep themselves busy and to go out and date again and to go out drinking. And from us, from a female perspective, it kind of looks like, oh, well, you know, he's out there having a great time and I'm here feeling crap about myself and feeling like I can't get over this, when really that's just his way of dealing with it. And so many of the men that I work with, you know, they're telling me that they're going out and they're doing all of these things, but they're actually feeling really terrible inside. They're feeling just as bad as what we are, but they're handling it in a different way. And I think that that's why I do get a lot of men come to me, because they need that open space. They need that environment to be able to let out all of those things without feeling judged by it. So I do think it's important for women to know that, you know, men, they do still have a hard time. It's just like that's their coping mechanism and that's their way of dealing with it. It's like, you know, they would rather have the quick fix than go through the crying and go through all of the emotional stuff that comes up. But eventually, like, that will come back up. And that's why you see a lot of guys falling into like the same patterns. They'll repeat the same patterns in relationships because they haven't dealt with that stuff. And of course that can happen with women as well, but for how, you know, what we're talking about here, like that's often what can happen.
Right. It said in the article that the survey they took discovered that women often come out stronger after a breakup over time, while men never completely recover and simply just move on. So talk to me a little bit about when you say the dangers of falling into the same patterns, like what kind of stuff would that be?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, so like self-sabotaging behaviors, for example. So if there are, you know, if a man has, he's gone through a breakup, maybe it was to do with commitment issues and, you know, he couldn't commit or, you know, something like that going on. And then, you know, he's looking for the next thing. He's looking to find a way to deal with that pain. So then he'll go out and date someone else and then he'll be really into that person for a few weeks or a couple of months. But then like it's a different person, but the same stuff will crop up with him. And then he'll self-sabotage that relationship maybe, and then go on to the next one, you know, so it kind of then will repeat that pattern. And we will often find that even as women, it's not until we actually deal with those core issues that are really setting us back, that until we learn from those, until we face those head on and do that work, like that's when we can then get into the next relationship and avoid that happening again, because we've got the tools, we're more self-aware, we know what our triggers are, and we've got more capacity to be able to deal with it. So yeah, I think that's kind of one example that I can think of.
When you say do the work, what does that mean? Like, do you mean therapy? Do you mean spending, is it all the stuff you said earlier about the journaling and all of those things?
Yeah, I mean, it can be different. I mean, I don't want people to think, oh my God, this is going to be a real like laborious thing that's going to be awful. And it doesn't have to be like that. It's mainly just increasing your self-awareness, like knowing yourself. If you know that you've got commitment issues, it's about taking some time out and thinking, okay, well, like, where is that coming from? You know, why is that happening? Is it something from my past? Is it, where how can I identify this and how can I stop it from happening in the future? What do I really need to be dealing with? And yeah, that can be a combination of things like therapy or coaching or journaling, meditation, just finding a way where you can increase your self-awareness and really pinpoint those things and have perhaps someone help you to be able to work through them. So it can look different to everyone, but if we're just going through blind and we know when something's up, but we're just burying it and we're just thinking, oh well, you know, it'll be okay in the next relationship because that will be with a different person, but it usually does come back up. And so, you know, there are many things that you can explore to help deal with that, and it doesn't have to be a big dramatic thing. It doesn't have to be a huge rock bottom. Can just be like going for a couple of therapy sessions to start with, or maybe doing a bit of reading, maybe, you know, picking up a book that you feel like really relates to the problem that you're experiencing.
I love that, because I think breakups are so hard emotionally and we can all get kind of down and depressed about them. But with this kind of mentality, it actually just becomes this place to really grow and get to know yourself, and actually can be a really good thing in your life.
Definitely. And that's why you hear of so many people who, you know, they go through a breakup and then it changes the trajectory of their whole life. Maybe it's inspired them to change careers. Maybe it's inspired them to go like on a trip that they've always wanted to go on, or start a new business. You know, a lot of these life changes that are really positive for people have come from going through a breakup. So when you do take on that mentality and that attitude of, okay, this sucks, I feel terrible right now, but how can I really grow from this? How can I expand my life? You know, what new things can I introduce into my life, as opposed to feeling like everything's been taken away? So it really is a huge mindset thing.
I loved on your website, you say to clients that you work with, you'll actually get over your ex. You'll do that thing you want to do, but keep putting off. You'll rewire your bad thoughts and you'll start living your life again.
Yeah.
I love that.
And that is the ultimate goal. And yeah, you know, it does take a bit of time. You know, this isn't, oh my God, I'd be a billionaire times over if I had a quick fix from getting over a breakup. But if you do start to put these things into practice and you try a few things out, and not everything works for everybody, but if you really just take this as an opportunity to to really, yeah, look at this as an opportunity for self-growth and try these things out, even if they seem a bit crazy. You know, like if I introduce people to like meditation, I mean, I'm doing it in a way that is like, look, you know, you don't have to be like go to India and be, you know, go and do it full on.
Right.
You can just do this for like 2 minutes a day with the Headspace app or just, you know, an app on your phone that's free. It's just making it as easy as possible for people, but that's still enabling them to, to be able to heal in that really healthy way and to for them to embrace that opportunity.
I love that. Laura, where can people find you? What's your Instagram handle?
Yeah, so my Instagram handle is at Laura M. Yates, and my website is laurayates.org, and yeah, that's where people can find me.
And do you do phone sessions, or how does your coaching work?
Yeah, so my coaching works, I offer Skype sessions. I can offer sessions in person if people are London based, and I sometimes spend some time in Los Angeles as well. So yeah, it depends where I am, but predominantly it's over Skype. So it's great because it means everybody has access to what I do. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, you guys check out Laura. Thank you so much for being here. I feel like we're all going to be so enlightened after breakups now.
I hope so. Thank you for having me. This has been great.
Thanks for listening. This is Kelly Henderson, and you've been listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast. I truly believe that every one of us has a little velvet and a little edge. So it's so important to remember that to be strong, you must be soft too. Thank you so much for sharing in those stories with me. You can follow Velvet's Edge on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as velvetsedge.com. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me every Wednesday for more conversations on lifestyle, beauty, and relationships. Thanks for listening.